Want to see the world from a totally different perspective? Ready for provocative conversation, intriguing stories, and inspiration? Then don't touch that dial. Welcome to the Francesca Luca Show. She'll give you something to talk about all week long. Now, here's Francesca.
Hi, everyone. You are tuned into the Francesca Luca Show. My web address is talkwithfrancesca.com, no H in Francesca. If you missed part of this show, you can hop on over to my iTunes page or now Spotify as well and listen there. And I would love you to leave a review and hit the subscribe button. All right, this portion of the show is sponsored by Stein Masonry Construction, providing high-quality construction and hardscaping services to commercial and residential clients. Their experienced team specializes in a variety of services for your outdoor living. They are dedicated to exceeding their clients' expectations with exceptional workmanship, attention to details, and personalized services from the estimate to the completion of the work. And I can personally endorse their work. Gil Stein and his experienced team are absolutely unmatched. So call them today. You will be glad that you did. All right, we're going to dive right in. We have a really exciting show. I'm especially excited to learn all about the ketogenic diet. My guest tonight is Dr. Georgia Ead. She is a Harvard-trained, board-certified psychiatrist, and she specializes in nutritional and metabolic psychiatry. Don't know what that is yet, but we're going to find out. She wants you to forget everything you thought you knew about so-called healthy diets and eat, get this, more meat. Dr. Ead's pioneering research focuses on simple dietary changes that can vastly improve your mental health and protect against Alzheimer's disease while reducing or eliminating prescription drugs. Well, I love that. You don't have to settle for your doctor's diagnosis. You can empower your own health by taking control of your diet. Her new book, which we're going to be discussing tonight, Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind, is a comprehensive guide to optimizing your mental health using the latest and greatest in brain science. If this doesn't sound like your kind of show, that's okay. You can just click the share button and pass it on to a friend. But it's my kind of show, so big welcome to you, Dr. Ead. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much for having me, Francesca.
So I have to confess, the first thing I thought of with this diet is it sort of reminded me of the Dr. Atkins diet. And, you know, where you eat a lot of meat, few vegetables, no carbs. Is that accurate or no?
There is a difference. I'm glad you brought this up because the Atkins diet is the original sort of low carbohydrate diet that most people in the country had heard of, you know, back in the 90s, mm-hmm. When Dr. Atkins was using it to help people lose weight and reduce the risk for heart disease. And so a lot of people still today think of the ketogenic diet or low-carb diets, first of all, they think of them as one and the same when they're not necessarily the same thing. But the other thing is that people often think of low-carb diets. When they think of low-carb diets and ketogenic diets, they think of them as weight loss diets. But the original ketogenic diet, which is a little different from the Atkins diet, the original ketogenic diet was designed back in 1921, more than 100 years ago, to stabilize brain chemistry, to help children with severe epilepsy before the creation of useful medications to treat seizures. So it was originally designed as a brain therapy.
Wow, way back in 1921. That's remarkable. I find that so hard to even believe. So then, you know, and now my primary care physician is vegan and swears by it. As a matter of fact, he called me last week and I said, I knew you were going to call me. I'm in the supermarket. He says, stay away from those end caps, you know. but yeah, I mean, he's, you know, I go in for my physical and, you know, you walk by the place where they take your blood and he's got nuts and seeds and the whole nine yards. And he is an absolute firm believer in vegan, and I think I did read somewhere that vegan diets are not good for you, according to you. Am I putting words in your mouth?
Well, no, you're not. I mean, a vegan diet is not the optimal human diet. The vegan diet, especially if you're not constructing it properly and not supplementing properly, which many people are not, the vegan diet has significant nutritional holes in it. But I think, you know, more people are becoming aware of that. It goes beyond B12. There are many nutrients which are difficult, if not impossible, to obtain from plant foods. And so, you know, many people try to supplement their way around that. But there's another issue, you know, with vegan diets, and that is that the way that we are told, the reason that we're told they're good for us is we're told that they're good for us because they don't contain any animal foods. And there actually is no evidence that that's why. Some of the studies have shown that if you design a vegan diet in just the right way, it can outperform in a variety of different ways our typical diets, with the so-called standard American diet or so-called Western diet, our modern ultra-processed diet. So the vegan diet has been shown, and vegetarian diets have been shown in a number of studies, to be superior to the standard American diet. Now, first of all, what diet wouldn't be?
You know, I was just thinking that, you know. You know, scones and donuts and, right, crackers, all the processed foods, absolutely. But I would think it'd be so hard to digest the vegan diet. I don't know, maybe I just have a tender tummy, but, you know, with all those beans and nuts, and that's harsh on your belly, but, you know, I mean, it's just me.
It's true. That's exactly right. And you know, beans and nuts are kind of notorious for that. You know, most people know, if they're paying attention, and that these foods are a little more challenging to digest.
Beans, they're good for your heart. I know you're thinking that, Quinn. I mean, that poem didn't start on its own for no good reason, right?
Anyway. Exactly. Well, you know, the rhyme that I grew up with started out is, you know, beans, the wonderful fruit.
And yeah! You remember that's that more one? Ladylike, yeah. The more you eat, the more you toot. Oh, yeah, our age is showing. Let's move on. I don't want everyone knowing how old I am. Go ahead.
That's perfectly fine. I'm happy with my age. But you know, that we all know that these foods are more challenging to digest, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're less healthy. My concerns about the vegan diet, there are several concerns that I have with it. One is that we're told that it's healthier because it contains no animal foods, but that's actually not what I think is going on. So when they test vegan diets against regular diets and vegetarian diets, the same is true. They don't simply remove the meat and seafood and poultry from the diet. They're making all kinds of other healthy changes to the diet, most importantly, perhaps, removing all the junk food and the refined carbohydrates, right, the sugars, the flours, the vegetable oils, the processed foods. And they're often even adding exercise and smoking cessation and all kinds of other healthy lifestyle changes. And then they say that the reason why the diet was healthier was because it contained less or no animal foods, which you really can't say.
Right. So it's not that. You know, I've seen a number of people who are on the vegan diet, and they actually are a little overweight. I mean, they're eating a lot of extra. They're eating so many carbs, I bet, right?
Well, there's lots of people who are overweight no matter what, you know, kind of pattern they're eating. Most of us are becoming overweight now, and it really, you can be thin and eat a vegan diet. You can be obese and eat a vegan diet. The vegan diet is, in and of itself, simply removing animal foods from the diet is not going to necessarily help you lose weight. You may lose weight, you may gain weight, you may stay the same weight. It depends on how you build the diet. Mm-hmm. But my other concern about the vegan diet isn't just that it has nutritional holes that can only be met through animal foods or perhaps second best, very careful supplementation. Mm-hmm. The other concern is, as you're alluding to, the vegan diet, in order to meet your protein requirements, unless you're very careful, you're often going to need to be turning to very starchy foods, starchy staples. So these are things like the beans, the grains and the beans. And these may be fine for some people. If you're very metabolically healthy and you've got really robust digestive system, you might be able to tolerate those foods as the foundation of your diet. Mm-hmm. But most of us now, the vast majority of Americans, now have something called insulin resistance or prediabetes or metabolic syndrome, whatever you want to call it. These are different ways of saying we can no longer handle safely tolerate, safely metabolize a high carbohydrate diet. So these diets can promote high blood sugar levels, high insulin levels. And once you are headed down that road, you are now on the path towards all kinds of chronic physical and mental diseases.
So let's back up here a little bit, because I think that it would be helpful if you could actually explain what metabolic psychiatry is.
Yes. So there are two brand new subspecialties in psychiatry, both of which are really exciting. This is actually a really exciting time to be a psychiatrist and to be somebody with a mental health problem, because we have finally new ways of thinking about mental health conditions and new ways of treating them that are much more empowering and much more effective and that require less medication. So the first new subspecialty is nutritional psychiatry, and nutritional psychiatry looks at the nutritional quality of the diet, promotes whole foods, dietary patterns, Mediterranean-style diets, things like that, making sure you're getting all your nutrients and so forth. And sometimes that branch of psychiatry also will, recommend that you eat the specific types of superfoods and supplements to boost brain health. The other, even newer branch of psychiatry is metabolic psychiatry. And metabolic psychiatry looks at the metabolic quality of the diet, meaning, for example, perhaps most importantly, how does that diet affect your glucose and insulin levels?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do, I'm a nutritional and a metabolic psychiatrist, because I believe both of these principles are very important. The nutritional quality of the diet matters greatly. You need to have all your nutrients, mm-hmm. and you need to not be eating things that can damage the brain. You need to nourish the brain. You need to protect the brain from damage, but you also need to energize the brain. And if your glucose and insulin levels are running too high, which they are for so many of us now, what happens then is your brain will gradually lose its ability to process glucose, blood sugar, and turn it into energy. And this lays the groundwork for all kinds of mental health conditions, including dementia. So metabolic psychiatry looks at the metabolic quality of the diet, and the ketogenic diet is the therapy that we are most interested in studying as an approach to these insulin resistance based mental health syndromes.
Okay, Dr. Eden, we're going to take a short break, but so I really want to get into the metabolic end of things, because and really getting into the ketogenic diet and what that really all entails, because I think, boy, what an amazing change this whole world would be if this could really make a difference. We know, at 16 years old, kids are being put on antidepressants. It seems crazy, no pun intended, but it's like, I don't know, when we were kids, if we were sad for a reason. We thought about it, we talked about it to our mummies and daddies or whatever, but it's certainly not drugs. But maybe there's more to it than that. So listeners, stay with us here. We've got some really interesting stuff to cover. Don't go anywhere.
This is Life, don't miss it.
I'm Francesca, and you're listening to The Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD. Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks? But sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed, and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will.
Looking for a touch of luxury amidst the chaos of summer? Let the team at Browse Boutique and Spa highlight your natural beauty. Brow's Boutique and Spa, located right in the heart of Cape Cod, is a wonderful place to be wonderful. Owner Dina Bowers brings 13 years of beauty industry experience. They offer permanent makeup, facials, waxing, nails, and more, complete with fresh tea or coffee and breathtaking views of the Cape. Brow's Boutique and Spa is open Tuesday through Friday from 9 to 5 and Saturday 9 to 4. Book online at browsboutiquespa.com or call 508-743-5639.
Are you tired of looking tired, experiencing hormone changes or weight gain? You are not alone. Skin Aesthetics and Buzzards Bay can help you on your journey to live well and be well. If you're looking for a comfortable experience to have your medical spa and wellness treatments and want to restore that youthful beauty to your skin, I've found just the place, Skin Aesthetics in Buzzards Bay. From dermafillers to biostimulators, neurotoxins, and PRP treatments, Angela Nelson is your go-to for medical skin treatments to give you that rejuvenated look and feel. With over 20 years' experience and glowing reviews from many satisfied clients, you can trust Angela Nelson to help you reach your wellness goals. Treat the signs of aging and gravity with all the tools to turn back the clock and get back your vitality. You don't want to wait. Plus, Skin Aesthetics offers other wellness services like body sculpting, contouring, and IV therapy. Embrace the fountain of youth. Begin your journey of self-care today. Visit skin-aesthetics-ma.com. You'll be glad you did.
This is Life, don't miss it.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD. All right, we are back. Are you struggling with attention problems, mood swings, food obsession, or depression? Whatever the issue, you have far more control over your thoughts, feelings, and behavior than you realize. We're speaking with Dr. Georgia Ead. She has written a book, Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind. It's a powerful plan to improve mood, overcome anxiety, and protect mental health, and protect memory for a lifetime of optimum mental health. And we are so thrilled to have her with us tonight. So welcome back to you, Dr. Ead.
Thank you very much.
So let's get right into what this diet really entails, because we've talked about how the vegan diet is missing some things. And is this more of like a carnivore diet? Is that kind of the...
So I'm glad you bring this up, because the ketogenic diet is really not about how many plants or animals you eat. So fortunately, everyone, regardless of their dietary preferences, can access the benefits, the mental health benefits of ketosis, being ketosis and following a ketogenic diet. They just need to understand the rules of how to build the diet. So you can eat a vegan ketogenic diet, a vegetarian ketogenic diet, an omnivore ketogenic diet. You can even eat a carnivore ketogenic diet where you don't eat any plants at all. So and really, because a ketogenic diet, you asked before about the Atkins diet. The Atkins diet is low in carbohydrates. But that's really all the Atkins diet recommends doing, is just keeping your eye on carbohydrate. A ketogenic diet, it's really about lowering insulin levels. So if you understand which foods and which behaviors raise insulin levels, what you want to do is, a ketogenic diet is any way of eating that lowers insulin levels enough to turn on fat burning and generate meaningful levels of ketones in the blood. Ketones are little fragments of fat when you're burning fat, and those fragments of fat dissolve in the bloodstream, go into the circulation, and they can feed your cells throughout the body. And the brain, especially, is very good at burning ketones for energy. So especially if you've lost, which many of us have, our full capacity, our ability to burn glucose or blood sugar to full capacity for energy, you're going to have a brain energy gap that needs to be bridged. And these ketones, really, in those situations, are a godsend. So, and as long as you understand how to lower your insulin levels, lead a lower insulin lifestyle, then you protect your, not only do you energize your brain better and correct all kinds of imbalances in the brain much better than a medication can, but you protect yourself against type 2 diabetes, against obesity, against cardiovascular disease, against fatty liver disease, against all kinds of other conditions, because most of the conditions we face now, the so-called diseases of civilization, obesity, most of these conditions are driven by insulin levels running too high too often. So this means not just reducing carbohydrate, but also not overeating in general, not overeating protein, not eating six times a day.
You mean as in like not grazing? Is that what you mean? Because you're saying grazing is not good.
Precisely. We need to spend the body and brain work best when we don't spend all of our time as food processors. So we need to take a break. We need to give ourselves a break from food processors.
Just when you think you've got all the answers, the questions change. I don't know. I can't figure it out anymore. But anyway, okay, so now we're talking about the intermittent fasting. Is that?
Yeah, so there are many, many different ways to lower your insulin levels. And as soon as I explain this, hopefully people who are listening will understand why so many different lifestyles we've been told many different ways of eating are healthy for us, because there are different ways of lowering your insulin levels. So a ketogenic diet lowers insulin levels beautifully, because you can't get into ketosis unless your insulin levels are low. You can't burn fat unless your insulin levels are below a certain point. So the ketogenic diet does this beautifully. But intermittent fasting, if you fast for long enough, you will eventually enter fat-burning mode, and your ketone levels will begin to rise. If you exercise intensely for long periods of time, you can get yourself into ketosis and start burning fat. If you restrict calories, even if it's a high-carbohydrate diet, you can actually get into ketosis eating a high-carbohydrate diet if you eat few enough calories, below 750 calories per day. Now, the problem is that if you're trying to stay in ketosis, which some people need to do to be well, not everybody, but some, if you need to be in ketosis all the time, you can't fast forever. You can't restrict calories that way for long. It's just unsustainable. So the ketogenic diet is the only way, not just to get into ketosis, but maintain ketosis long-term without the need for fasting, although fasting can still be used intermittently, without the need for calorie restriction, and without the need for intense exercise. All of those other strategies can be layered on top of a ketogenic diet, but the ketogenic diet in and of itself will, if it's properly constructed, will get you into ketosis, into fat-burning mode, and it will keep you there safely and sustainably long-term if that's where you need to be.
So how do you get into that ketosis state?
Yeah, so there are different ways. Lowering your insulin levels is, in order to start burning fat, you need to do three things. Your glucose, your blood sugar levels need to come down, so you can't be eating a lot of carbohydrates and keep your blood sugar level too high. People can use continuous glucose monitors or finger stick monitors at home to see what's happening to their glucose levels.
You mean pricking your finger?
Either pricking your finger, which is the old-fashioned way and the least expensive way, but there are now these lovely, really empowering continuous glucose monitors. This is simply a painless patch with a little plastic filament that goes into your skin on your arm, and you wear that patch you wear it for 2 weeks, and it's constantly monitoring your blood sugar, and you can read it right on your phone. I'm wearing one right now, and it tells you exactly what's happening to your glucose in real time, so you can see, okay, how am I doing with this oatmeal for breakfast? Is it really good for my metabolism or not? So you can test for yourself. There's a whole chapter in the book describing exactly how to do this. So the first step is you've got to get those glucose levels into a healthy range. The second step is you've got to get your insulin levels down, and that means eating for most people, it means eating less frequently and eating less food, eating the right amount of food, but not too much. So yes, protein, and yes, animal protein, if you're willing to do that, that's superior. But not overeating protein and not eating an abundance of low carbohydrate foods all day long and well into the night. You're really making sure that you're eating enough but not too much. And so you want to lower your glucose levels, and if you lower your insulin, lowering your insulin levels is about not eating too much. It's about keeping the carbohydrates low, and it's about replacing those carbohydrate calories with fat, because fat does not raise insulin levels. Fat is from a metabolic point of view, from the point of your metabolic safety, glucose and insulin levels, it is the safest macronutrient you can eat. And that sounds upside down from what we're usually told.
Fat? So you're talking about like butter?
Well, I'm not a huge fan of dairy, and this is where I agree with vegan proponents of vegan diets. I'm not a fan of dairy. There's a chapter in the book about this. I am a proponent, though, of meat, seafood, poultry, and eggs.
What about olive oil? What about...
Yes, olive oil, avocado oil, coconut oil. Yes, absolutely. The healthy plant oils that are not... that don't come out of oil refineries the way the vegetable oils do, things like cottonseed oil and sunflower oil and soybean oil and canola oil. Those are very dangerous for the brain. Mm-hmm. But
what about fruit and vegetables?
Fruits and vegetables are fantastic if you can tolerate them metabolically. So some of us have lost our ability to tolerate even fruits and starchy vegetables to a significant degree because we've lost some of our ability to safely metabolize a high carbohydrate diet. So, and the book explains this. One of the things I've done in the book is I've laid out three different plans for people because not everybody needs to eat a ketogenic diet to obtain brain health benefits, and not everybody wants to eat a ketogenic diet. So there are different options for people. And so if you've got good metabolic health right now, let's say you exercise regularly and you're naturally lean, and your insulin levels, and glucose levels are already in a healthy range, you may be able to safely tolerate a so-called paleo diet, which is, you get your carbohydrates from fruits and starchy vegetables instead of from grains and beans and sugars and flours and cereals. And that's a very healthy plan, unless you've got a lot of metabolic damage, which many of us do. And in those cases, we do need to, unfortunately, often need to reduce our carbohydrates even from those healthier whole food sources like fruits and vegetables. So the book explains exactly how you can figure out where you are on that spectrum, but it's personalized to your metabolic health. So some of us need to be in ketosis in order to properly energize our brain and be well and keep our insulin levels low, and others of us have more flexibility.
So how did you get into this? Were you feeling foggy or having mood swings? Was this an emotional roller coaster for you, and so you got into this, or how did this all come about?
Yeah, I had absolutely no. In medical school, we didn't learn about food and the brain mm-hmm. at all. We had about two or three hours of nutrition lecture in medical school, in 4 years of medical school, and we didn't talk about food and the brain once during 4 years of psychiatry residency. And so I left residency having absolutely no idea how important the foods we eat are to our maintaining our good mental health. And it wasn't until I encountered some of my own physical health issues in my early 40s, things like migraines and fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue and migraines and lots of things that I think, many of your listeners will relate to.
Right.
I just started instinctively experimenting with my diet because all the doctors I went to, and I was working at Harvard at the time, I had access to great specialists, they couldn't find anything wrong. But of course something was wrong.
Yeah, exactly. How is this? Oh, your blood tests are fine, but I feel like crap. We're going to take another short break, but what just kind of rolled through my brain is I think of, the child in the supermarket who's just completely out of control, but it's beyond, just a undisciplined child, or you just know that the child has some really significant mental health issues. And so I wonder at such a young age how this kind of thing happens, because they're so young. I mean, how much damage could they possibly have done with their diet? But I'll let you answer that question. So listeners, stay with us here. Lots more to come.
This is Life.
I'm Francesca, and you're listening to The Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
Train the way the Navy SEALs and pro athletes train with Ultimate Human Performance, a training program crafted by best-selling author and master physiokinesiologist Joe Hippensteel. Ultimate Human Performance teaches you the world's most advanced training methods to eliminate pain and injury. They've helped change the lives of over 10,000 clients across 56 countries and will change your life too. Do you suffer from chronic pain? Are you looking to regain the flexibility you had when you were young? The Joe Hippensteel method will give you back your youth, eliminate pain, and help build a better you.
And the best part is you can do it all from the comfort of your home with Ultimate Human Performance's online video courses. Learn everything from the fundamentals to advanced techniques to help relieve your pain for good. Looking for something in person? Book a one-on-one session or attend one of Ultimate Human Performance's three-day seminar events. Reclaim your body with Joe Hippensteel's Ultimate Human Performance. Find out how to live pain-free today at ultimatehumanperformance.com.
Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks? But sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
The time is now to finally install that new patio or fire pit that's been in your dreams. Your home is ready to be beautified with stonework, but when the time comes, you want and need the best. That's where Stein Masonry comes in. Stein Masonry provides the best in high-quality construction and hardscaping services. With an experienced and dedicated team, they'll tailor any project to your specifications. When you decide it's time to enhance your home, don't mess with less than the best. Trust the guys you know. Stein Masonry. Family owned and operated and local. Visit them online today for a free quote at steinmasonry.com.
This is Life Don't Miss It.
Now for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD. All right, we are back. After decades of standing still, psychiatry is taking a quantum leap forward, if you have been tuning in. The exciting new field of metabolic psychiatry is zeroing in on hopeful new ways to think about mental health conditions and empowering new ways to treat them. And the most powerful intervention is the ketogenic diet. That is what we're talking about tonight with Dr. Georgia Eadge, who has written a book, Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind. Big welcome back to you, Dr. Eadge. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Francesca.
So before the break, I had mentioned sometimes, you know, you see these little kids in the supermarket and they're completely out of control. And you know, I have thought this kid's got too much sugar. We haven't even mentioned sugar. But what I'm curious about is how at such a young age, could their diet be affecting what's going on? Because, you know, I mean, it's, you know, according to the psychiatric world, these kids are sort of born with this mental illness. Am I mistaken?
Well, I hope you are.
Okay.
and I believe this is the case for most children. So we actually have some really good research in this area, and we're about to do more really exciting research. So the first thing I want people to hear about is that decades ago, there were a number of studies, mostly in Europe, demonstrating that if you took children with ADHD, mm-hmm. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, some of them very severely afflicted with ADHD, some to the point that they needed to be hospitalized. If you took children and young teens with ADHD and you fed them for just a few weeks something called a few foods diet, it was just a very simplified diet with just a handful of foods, mostly whole foods. These were things like, you know, poultry and vegetables. This kind of a diet, I've had some rice, I've had some apple juice, but it was mostly a whole foods diet of fruits, vegetables, and meat, seafood, poultry. Those children, two-thirds to three-quarters of them, responded to that dietary change in just a few weeks, and many of them no longer met criteria for ADHD within just a few weeks.
Yeah, but how do they get the ADHD to begin with? I know when I was a kid in school, I remember I was daydreaming all the time. All the time. You know, and I mean, to me, that's a creative mind. You know, I don't know whether it's ADHD or what it is, but, you know, I might have a touch of that. But, I don't know. It didn't seem that my mother was not feeding her children properly. We had the meat, the potatoes, and the vegetable every night. That was what we had for dinner, and a sandwich for lunch and eggs for breakfast or cereal.
Yes. So I mean, I think there are a couple of questions wrapped up in your comment. And one is that, you know, there are different degrees of ADHD, and some are perfectly, there's a way to be a think outside the box person and a nonlinear thinker and a dreamer and a creative person that's very functional. And there's another way to have attention problems and hyperactivity problems that really interferes with your ability to function, not just at school, where I think, you know, some kids just don't do well in school,
right,
because,
right,
you know, it's not necessarily the best environment for all children.
Right.
But they don't function at home or in their relationships or in jobs either. And so, and I specialized for quite some time in ADHD. I worked at the Halliwell Center
for
years.
Uh-huh.
And I also, I worked in at Harvard University with college students, and at Smith College with college students, lots of students with ADHD. So I know a lot about this topic. And, you know, so there's ADHD and there's ADHD.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so
right.
I think we're definitely not talking about trying to change people, you know, who are not struggling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's lots of different ways to be in the world, and many of them are really wonderful. But I have many adults and many children and many students in my practice over the years who have been really disabled by the inability to direct their attention where it needs to go, when it needs to be there, and they really fail in life. They do not meet their potential, and they get frustrated. They start abusing substances. They become depressed, anxious, and they can't hold a job, and they can't hold down a relationship. So children with ADHD, some of them, it can be quite severe. And so, no, I'm not a child psychiatrist, and I'm not a parent. So there are limitations to what I can say to people in terms from a practical standpoint. What I can say from a scientific standpoint is we have very clear, really wonderful evidence that diet matters to attention and hyperactivity. We know that from multiple studies conducted in Europe years ago. We also have this wonderful study, such as the one I included in the book, where researchers at Harvard, they gave children, perfectly healthy teenage boys, they gave them a sugary cola, and they compared it to a sugar-free cola, and these are both decaffeinated caffeine-free colas. So they gave these teenage boys, they compared these two colas, and then they measured their adrenaline levels over time. Mm-hmm. Adrenaline is one of our stress hormones.
Right.
And so what they saw was that with the sugary cola, the teenage boys, their adrenaline levels spiked. They quadrupled within 4 to 5 hours after that soda, whereas the adrenaline levels in the other boys stayed flat. And these boys had symptoms. They were shaky, they were sweaty, they were hungry, they were uncomfortable. And this is really, and a lot of parents may not connect, or even adults may not connect, what they ate for or drank 4 to 5 hours earlier with how they're feeling in that moment.
Huh.
Because it takes so long for that reaction to happen. We often don't realize how much the foods we eat are driving our hormones, mm-hmm, out of balance.
Well, and not just sugary drinks.
Well.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking, it's not just sugary drinks. Diet drinks aren't good for you either.
Well, that's for sure. Depending on the sweetener, you can get into trouble with diet drinks as well. And so it's very important to understand the difference between all these different sweeteners and all the different additives. And, of course, the best beverage of all is water. That's always going to be the safest one. But who drinks water anymore, right? Who drinks water anymore?
Well, I don't know how clean water even is, you know? So give us
the same water and soda.
Yeah. So give us an example of a menu for just a day, whether what you eat or what you might recommend for someone who is wanting to follow this diet. I mean, can they pick up the book Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind and actually create better mental health for themselves?
Yes. In fact, the whole last 25% of the book, the whole part four of the book is all how to and tips and tricks and hand-holding and explaining how to do this. And so, you know, how to get your blood sugar levels under control, how to choose which dietary pattern to follow, and you can personalize it all to your needs and your goals. So there are three different dietary patterns in the book, and I start everybody with a pattern that I call a quiet paleo pattern. And this is just sort of, you know, our ancestral diet, sort of a hunter-gatherer type diet. It's meats and fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and those sorts of things. I've taken a few things out to make it a little gentler on people's digestive systems and so forth, but it's essentially a modified paleo diet. It's a little lower in carbohydrate than a standard paleo diet, such as you might see on something like the Whole30 plan, which is a great plan.
Right.
But it's got less carbohydrate in it so that it's a little gentler, quieter on your insulin levels, on your glucose levels. So it brings your total carbohydrate down from a typical diet might contain at least 300 grams of carbohydrate per day. The diet that I recommend people start with contains about 90 grams of carbohydrate per day. It's not ketogenic. Mm-hmm. You can have, you know, starch or fruit at every meal, but it's much lower in carbohydrate, so it's going to be much gentler on your metabolic health. And so I start people with that, and it's really just meats and fruits and vegetables and healthy fats. It doesn't have to be red meat. It can be seafood. It can be shellfish. It can be poultry, as long as the core of the diet is a nutritious animal food. Mm-hmm. And then you add your plant foods to that and your healthy fats. It actually on the plate looks like a very simple, not unusual diet at all.
Well, I hope you're not going to encourage people to start eating liver and bacon. Anyway, I just couldn't stomach that. Even I remember feeding it to my last dog. I put liver on his plate. I remember looking at it. He turned his nose up like, what the is this? Anyway, we're going to take a short break when we come back, our last segment. Listeners, if you've missed part of the show, you're going to want to hop over to my iTunes or Spotify page and listen there. And you'll want to share it with everyone that you know so they'll be thinking straight. Stay with us here. We will be right back.
This is Life Talk Missing.
I'm Francesca, and you're listening to The Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD. Who doesn't go to the hair salon to liven up their looks? But sometimes you look worse on the way out than you did walking in. You can expect something different at Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing. With a super modern feel that can hardly be mistaken for suburban, they're a full-service hair salon offering cuts, color, highlighting, and formal design. With an impressive following and 5-star rating on Google, Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing won't disappoint. I know, because I can tell you from my own experience, I felt transformed, and you will too. So if you're looking to turn a few heads, call Delaria Salon at Wareham Crossing today at 508-322-9468. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. Conveniently located in the Wareham Crossing Shopping Plaza, call them today or book online at DelariaWareham.com. You'll be thrilled. I know you will. Are you tired of looking tired? Experiencing hormone changes or weight gain? You are not alone. Skin Aesthetics and Buzzards Bay can help you on your journey to live well and be well. If you're looking for a comfortable experience to have your medical spa and wellness treatments and want to restore that youthful beauty to your skin, I've found just the place, Skin Aesthetics in Buzzards Bay. From dermafillers to biostimulators, neurotoxins, and PRP treatments, Angela Nelson is your go-to for medical skin treatments to give you that rejuvenated look and feel. With over 20 years' experience and glowing reviews from many satisfied clients, you can trust Angela Nelson to help you reach your wellness goals. Treat the signs of aging and gravity with all the tools to turn back the clock and get back your vitality. You don't want to wait. Plus, Skin Aesthetics offers other wellness services like body sculpting, contouring, and IV therapy. Embrace the fountain of youth. Begin your journey of self-care today. Visit skin-aesthetics-ma.com. You'll be glad you did.
Need a reliable place for your pet? Does your dog crave extra stimulation instead of social isolation? Sign up for doggy daycare at the Dog's Den in Pembroke. With two separate yards and plenty of supervision, your dog will have a ball and tug-of-war toys and plenty of new friends. The Dog's Den also specializes in grooming. Each groomer at the Dog's Den has decades of experience and will leave your furry friend refreshed and ready for their next adventure. Schedule your grooming or daycare today at thedogsdengrooming.com.
Beyond Aesthetics in Westport empowers you to be your own kind of beautiful with an exclusive and customizable experience. With an unmatched catalog of services, Beyond Aesthetics is your one-stop personal health shop, offering skin treatments, microneedling, laser hair removal, and the Glow 2 Facial, a breakthrough treatment that unlocks the body's natural superpowers. Exfoliate with O2 bubbles, amplify with Lux via their light ultrasound experience, and detox via lymphatic massage. You can feel the magic. So clear your mind and recharge your body at Beyond Aesthetics, 1125 State Road in Westport. Services are by appointment only, so book yours online today at beyondaestheticswestport.com. Beyond Aesthetics, invigorating you, mind, body, and soul.
This is Life to Listen.
Now, for more of the Francesca Luca Show on 95.9 WATD.
All right, we are back. We are talking about the ketogenic diet, that it is powerful brain medicine. Many people think of the ketogenic diet as a weight loss diet, but it actually was originally designed in 1921, can you imagine, to stabilize brain chemistry in children with severe epilepsy before useful anti-seizure medicines became available. So I am speaking with Dr. Georgia E. tonight. She has written a book, Change Your Diet, Change Your Mind. It is a powerful plan to improve your mood, overcome anxiety, and protect memory for a lifetime of optimal mental health. Welcome back, Dr. Ead.
Thanks, Francesca. It's great to be back.
So, okay, no liver and bacon. So, eggs for breakfast, great, but no cheese on it, right?
Well, you know, this is one of those softer points where I encourage people to at least explore a dairy-free experiment, you know, to see how dairy affects them. Some people do better with certain dairy products than others, but ideally, I make this argument in the book that, you know, the less dairy we eat, the better we will feel. I want people to adopt a curiosity mindset and explore that relationship for themselves and make their own decision about that.
Eggs, would you have fruit with that? Would you have...
Well, the fruit will depend on your metabolic health, and so some people tolerate fruit well, and their glucose levels and insulin levels will stay in a normal range or just very briefly rise and come back down again. Others of us, a piece of fruit can raise our blood sugar, cause our blood sugar levels to rise into the danger zone. And so the only way you can tell is to test your blood sugar after you're eating your favorite carbohydrate-rich foods.
So what is that called that you were saying that you can buy? Of course, it's extremely expensive, right?
Yeah, so this is called a continuous glucose monitor. Mm. And a continuous glucose monitor, if it's not covered by insurance, and many times it won't be, they come in a box of two, and each one lasts for 2 weeks, so a month's supply of these monitors. It costs about $150 out of pocket with no insurance. And that's a lot of money for a lot of people. However, I will say that if you can afford even just one box,
It's worth it.
That's
really
all you need to get a really valuable window into how your lifestyle is affecting your glucose levels in real time.
Yeah, no kidding. So you really do need that in order to know what you can and can't eat, pretty much, right?
Well, I mean, it helps you personalize it, but there are some rules that everyone can follow. I mean, it's safe for almost everybody to eat a low-carbohydrate diet, and I explain some exceptions in the book. But it's safe for almost everybody to lower their carbohydrate. What's not safe is for many of us to eat a high-carbohydrate diet. So if you're going to err on the side of caution, I do encourage you to not just to sell books. I'm saying I encourage you to learn more about who can and can't start a ketogenic diet safely, because there are some people for whom the ketogenic diet is not a good idea. It's just a small number of people who shouldn't do it. But the other thing is that if you're going to start a ketogenic diet, it's a very powerful metabolic intervention, and it's really important to work with somebody, with a clinician, who can guide you through that process, especially the first few weeks, because it's such a powerful and effective intervention. It's going to lower your blood sugar levels quickly. It could lower your blood pressure very quickly. It could change medication levels quickly. And you could lose excess fluid, water weight. These are all really positive changes. However, if they're not monitored, then that transition can be uncomfortable and sometimes even potentially dangerous. So especially if you're taking certain medications or have certain health conditions. And so it's a double-edged sword. It's a very powerful intervention, and therefore you have to use it wisely.
Mm-hmm. Quinn, how much time do we have left?
5 minutes. Okay, good.
Tell me about 3 ways of eating that can improve our mental health.
Yeah, so I would say you want to nourish, protect, and energize your brain.
Yep.
And to nourish your brain, the most efficient way to do that is to include some nutritious animal foods in your diet if you're willing to do that, or else supplement very carefully. To protect your brain, you need to exclude ingredients which damage the brain, and the most damaging ingredients are refined carbohydrates, sugars, flours, cereals, fruit juices, things like that. These are the naked carbohydrates.
Bread.
The glucose.
Bread?
Bread.
Sourdough bread, including sourdough?
Yes.
I thought sourdough bread was good for you. Okay.
It's a little gentler on you than other forms of bread, but it still is essentially a pile of glucose that's going to require a lot of insulin to process. So it's going to give you a little bit less of a spike in your glucose, but it's still going to require quite a bit of insulin to process. And the goal is to get those insulin levels down in carbohydrates of all kinds, including whole grains and fruits and starchy vegetables. Carbohydrates demand the greatest amount of insulin, and that's just an unfortunate fact.
Mm-hmm. So stay away from the carbs.
So nourish, protect, and the energize piece. To energize your brain, so to protect your brain, avoid the refined carbohydrates, sugars, flours, cereals, juices, and avoid the vegetable oils, soybean, canola, sunflower, cotton, all of those colorless, odorless oils that we're told are good for us are very dangerous for the brain. And then the third thing is to energize your brain by keeping your glucose and insulin levels in a healthy range. And that means for all of us spending at least some time, not necessarily all the time, it depends on your situation, spending at least some time not processing food, letting those insulin levels come down, and entering that healing mode and getting into ketosis, even if it's only intermittently. And that's really important. We've become a society where we're eating almost constantly. And that is really what's happening. It's gradually choking off your brain's energy supply.
Unbelievable. But years ago, you know, the whole deal was, you know, every personal trainer in the world would tell you to graze. You know, you have breakfast, then you have a mid-morning snack, then you have lunch, then you have a mid-afternoon snack, then you have dinner, then you have after-dinner snack, right? And now what you're really saying is, on some level, you know, maybe stop eating at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and then don't pick up eating again until whatever, 8 the next morning, something like that. Is that right?
Yes, widen your fasting window overnight. That's one of your best opportunities to burn fat. Mm. You can only burn fat when your insulin is low, and nothing, and really everything you eat, except for pure fat. People don't tend to eat pure fat. But everything you eat is going to raise insulin to some extent. So what really allows your insulin levels to come down to a nice low level overnight is when you're fasting. So try to widen that window to, if you can, 14 to 18 hours.
A nutritionist, I'm just curious, like if somebody wanted to hire a nutritionist, do you think that nutritionists are really kind of onto this, or is this really just too new?
Great question, Francesca. So there are dietitians, mm-hmm. registered dietitians and nutrition therapists who specialize in ketogenic therapy. And so on my website, there is a free clinician directory.
Oh, okay, great.
As a free public service. So the website's diagnosisdiet.com. And the tab is a clinician directory. And you can search. It's an international directory for clinicians, including dietitians and nutrition therapists and coaches and psychiatrists and therapists who can help you safely transition onto a ketogenic diet for mental health, to treat mental health conditions of all kinds.
And, of course, insurance does not cover it, I would assume.
It depends on the clinician. It depends on the clinician and where they work. So some do and some don't.
Okay.
But you really only need help in most cases to get onto the diet. You need a little education, a little support in the beginning. And often what happens is people become self-sufficient. And they no longer need, which is very different from when you're going to see a psychiatrist and medication management.
Oh, that's for sure. All right, Dr. Georgia Ead, change your diet, change your mind. Pick up the book. Listeners, if you missed part of the show, you want to go over to my iTunes page or Spotify page and download there. You'll want to share it with a friend because this is really super interesting and helpful and helpful information. So, Dr. Ead, thanks again for joining us tonight. Really, thank you so much for all this such important information.
Thank you so much, Francesca. And really, as I like to say, you know, hope is on the menu. If there are people out there with mental health conditions who think that there's nothing left to try, please take a look because there's so much more you can do with the right information.
All right, great. Thanks so much. All right, we've got to wrap things up and say goodnight. See you next time.